in a study of the book of Galatians. A lot of rich, deep teaching in Galatians. And so we want to look at this closely through the next few weeks. I'm not sure how many weeks, but probably a couple months or three or so. We'll take it one verse at a time, as usual, expository preaching, and cover these things. The book of Galatians, just as an introduction, in about 286 B.C., the Gauls invaded this area. They came and took over that. They were very shrewd in attaching themselves to the powers to be, and they became entrenched in the Roman government, and then later this area, what we would call modern-day Turkey, became the province of Galatia. And there were many cities. Paul's first missionary journey was in the southern part. Many commentators think that's where the people received this letter. Some think maybe the northern kingdom or the northern part of that province of Galatia was where this letter went. Probably the consensus is it probably went to the southern part in his first missionary journey through these cities. Paul was a missionary. We've talked about that some tonight. And he went through these cities and he proclaimed the gospel and he started churches. And the Apostle Paul was not only a missionary, he was a pastor at heart, because he didn't just leave those people, he loved and prayed for those people. And he cared for those people, and he wanted to know what was happening to those people. And so he was concerned for them. We saw that in Thessalonica. We see that in the Bible in other places. He cared for them as a pastor cares for his flock. And so Paul was maligned many times. If you seek to live a godly life, you will suffer persecution. We're told that in Scripture. And so he was maligned. There were some there that said, Paul's a one and done. Paul's in it for the money. Paul's in it just to look, make himself look good. Whatever it was said about him, he received some flack from that. And then there were others who came, Judaizers. They were Jewish Christians who had believed probably, but then they wanted to add something. So it was that they believed in Jesus, but it was Jesus plus this. And so they wanted to add things to their salvation. And Paul's going to talk about that as being, this isn't the true gospel that I preach to you. This is another gospel. Stay away from that, basically. And so those type of things, kind of a background of, is what Paul is doing in the beginning. We're going to look at the first five verses today. This is just an introduction of Paul's. He's not going to say anything flowery that he does in some of his letters. He's going to have this short introduction, and then he's going to get to business of what's taking place. And so we'll see that in this. It's not Jesus plus nothing. It is Jesus and nothing else. And so one of the things that Judaizers, just as an introduction, were teaching, they were teaching that Jesus was enough, but if you are Gentile and you're saved, you really need to be circumcised. You really need to have that sign to really finish off your salvation. There were dietary laws of the Jews that you probably ought to really follow to kind of finish off that salvation and follow these things. Probably other set laws too. In other words, Jesus was not enough, and you really need to add to it and maintain it yourself. Galatians had been called, this book has been called the Magna Carta of Christian freedom. And we'll talk more about that through the book. Of this freedom we have in Christ. Not freedom to do as we want, but freedom to serve the Lord. Freedom from the penalty of sin. Freedom from the doubts that we might have. Freedom from the lack of hope that we desperately want and need. These things are our freedoms. And you know what else is in that freedom? That freedom to serve one another. And to give selflessly of ourselves. We are free to do that because we are safe in Christ. Christ alone. Plus nothing. And so the Apostle Paul is concerned for these people because he loves them. And he's heard by a report what's happening there. And so he's going to write to them. And so the title of this message, as I prayed over this week, you know, it's really this, and it's for us today too. This message, and we'll see this in the introduction, is from Paul, but this is really to you from God. To you from God. And the theme being, this is authority. This is authoritative. And Paul's going to talk about that, where this authority comes from. This is to you from God, and there's authority behind it. And so the proposition, you know, that we have to face each day in our own life, because Jeff mentioned it earlier about our sinful nature. We know the right things to do, and we understand those things, but our sinful nature sometimes gets in the way. And so this proposition for us tonight, for them, and I think for us tonight too, because sometimes our pride gets in the way, sometimes our own higher knowledge or learning gets in the way, or our experience gets in the way. But the proposition that I want to answer tonight at this is, will you listen? Will you listen? The authority that comes before you today, the Word of God. Will you listen? This is to you from God. Will you listen to these things? I think that was on the Apostle Paul's heart as he wrote these things, and he wants them to listen, and he wants them to come to the right understanding of the truth of the gospel that they believed in the beginning. And it's Jesus plus nothing. And so we're going to look at those things. Paul wrote not only to defend his authority and to call them to a true gospel, not another gospel. He's going to give his bio of his background, a stand for salvation by faith alone in the deity of Christ, and that there's freedom in Christ. There's freedom in Christ to live to honor God in our Christian walk. And just the overview before we begin, I know this is kind of a long introduction, but the overview of Galatians is just kind of where some of these things are going. God's promise was to Abraham. He's going to talk about that in 3:8. The promise of salvation, a promise of a blessing to all the world would come through his family or through the line that was Abraham. He promised him land, Genesis 12:3 and 18:18. The law was added because of transgression, 3:19. The law was added because of transgression, not to bring salvation. It wasn't Jesus plus the law. It wasn't Jesus plus stuff. The law wasn't given to save. The law was really a curse and held us in bondage. And he's going to talk about that. Man's fall was complete, and man's hopeless state was that he could not overcome sin by the law. And the law said that all have rebelled and all fall short, or all miss the mark of holiness. And it was never given for salvation. It was given us to point us to the one that obeyed it perfectly for us, that never sinned. And he didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill every part of it for you and for me in our stead, and then offer himself on the cross in our place. He was the perfect sacrifice. He was God himself, perfect in every way, hung on a cross to save us. And that's what he wants them to understand. And I think we all need to really grasp that. And we oftentimes go to something else, but it's Jesus plus nothing. It's Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And no one's coming to the Father except through him. The righteous are righteous or declared so. That's justification by faith in Jesus plus nothing. He's going to talk about that in the book. The righteous will live and be led by the Spirit-filled life. He's going to talk about that later, the fruits of the Spirit. Kind of as an overview of the book. We're going to talk about all of those things. But tonight we're going to do this introduction. And I've already probably spent too long on that, but that's all right. We want to talk about this message to you and I from God and the authority behind it. And will we listen tonight? Will we listen tonight? Let's read the first five verses. That's going to be our passage tonight. And we'll look at these things as quickly as we can and try to get through this tonight and kind of get into the body of the letter next week. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle. He was an apostle of God. He fit that criteria. We'll talk a little bit about that. Not sent from men, nor through the agency of man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. There's the authoritative thing. Jesus was raised from the dead. He goes to the resurrection, and Paul was an apostle sent with a message. He had seen the risen Lord. It wasn't his message, and we'll talk about that. It was God's message. This is to you from God, he's basically saying in the beginning. And all the brethren who were with me, to the churches at Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, so that he might rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. Father in heaven, we do come wanting to listen tonight. We come knowing the authority of your word and the authority really that you had given to the Apostle Paul to write these things to us. And so we thank you for that, and we ask just for your guidance tonight in all that we study, and help us to listen, not to me or not to other men, but Lord, as the Apostle Paul has prayed, these things come from you. These are from you, and the authority behind that is a risen Savior, a living Savior that we serve and love. And so help us to just learn more tonight about you, and help us to listen closely to what you want us to know and apply those things to our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Long ago, when I worked at Owens Markets, and that was, I hadn't been there real long. I came from Kaiser's Market in Butler. I'd worked there almost 10 years, and I was probably about 27, 28 years old when I started at Owens. And I hadn't worked there too long, but I knew we had an owner. And we'll just call him Mr. T. That really wasn't his name, but we'll just call him that. But he was in charge of everything. He owned it all. It was all his stores. And you know what we did? Our managers, and I never really understood this, they would find out, you know, Mr. T is going to make a visit on Tuesday. Oh my goodness, the store was on fire, right? The way we ran around. I mean, he was coming on Tuesday, and we have to get everything in place. And my question always was, why don't we live this way every day? Why don't we do our job the best we can? And I tried to do that. Why don't we just do the best we can, because we know the authority could come at any moment and just call us under the carpet. And so we would run around making sure every little can was turned just right and everything was stacked up nice in the back room. It didn't look that way every day, but we tried to look that way for Tuesday if we knew Mr. T was coming. Well, the authority we wanted to impress, and we wanted to do those things for. The authority that we have here, that we see, we should be living and ready every day for the Lord's return, first of all, and living a life because we know that he sees and knows all things. He isn't coming on Tuesday. He's with us every day of the week. And so this authority that Paul starts with in verse 1, it says, Paul. You know, by the way, the word Paul means little. Some people think that he really took that name. I think the Lord gave it to him, changed his name, but when he changed his life. But it means little. And I often wonder how tall he was. Maybe he was just like 4'8" or something, or... You know, this is a weird thought, but maybe Paul was a midget. I don't know. I mean, just, it means small. Many people think that he, in the tradition, was that he liked that name because he was little in the sight of God, but God used him greatly. But it means little. And in the Hebrew, it means asked. But Paul was an apostle, one who was raised to new life from blindness to sight, one who was turned around or repented and changed his mind because he had seen the risen Lord. I was going to turn to Acts chapter 9, but for time's sake, and I know you know that story, Acts chapter 9, Paul's conversion. He was there on the road to Damascus. He was searching out Christians to imprison them or beat them or kill them or whatever he wanted to do. He had letters in hand, going to go find them. He was zealous for those things of the law and for squashing this way that was starting up. And there he met the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. And he was qualified to be an apostle because he had that encounter with the Lord Jesus. And he was commissioned there to do a job, to go to the Gentiles eventually and to preach the gospel. He was blinded for 3 days. And then Ananias was sent to pray over him and lay his hands on him. And the scales fell off his eyes. And he immediately got up, and he wasn't hesitant into beginning to go and to preach the gospel. And he was a changed man. He was an apostle. He had that authority. He was turned around. He had seen the risen Lord. He was commissioned by God and sent with this message. His authority did not come from man's wisdom or man's traditions or anything that man taught. And he says that right in the beginning. Paul, an apostle, not sent from men, not through the agency of any man. There wasn't a group of men anywhere in Paul's background that said, you know what, we need a front man to go out there and do our job for us, and we need to set him up, and we need to make sure he's got some authority behind it. You know, we'll just make it look that way. He didn't get any of that from anywhere else. He was commissioned by God himself. So he didn't get this from any agency, from any man, but through the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. And here is just another indication in Scripture of grouping the Lord Jesus Christ, or Jesus Christ and God the Father together, both deity, both God. A mark of that that's throughout Scripture, that Jesus is God. So his authority didn't come from any man. At the heart of his authority was Jesus. And he says here, what? His who raised him from the dead, the resurrection. Christ's resurrection is authority. In Matthew chapter 28, 16 through 20, and I'm not going to turn there either. I was going to turn there, but we'll just talk about that. And that's the Great Commission. But before that, Jesus said, I want you to go into all the world. Why? Because I have been given, and Jesus said this of himself, all authority. Why? Because he was a risen Savior. He had the keys to heaven and hell. He had all authority because he was God himself. He created all things, and he offered himself willingly on the cross for you and I, and then death could not hold him because he had no sin. He rose victorious with all authority. And Paul says, that's who sent me. A risen Savior sent me. We need to remember that today. That it isn't our thinking, it isn't our message, it isn't our doing of things. It's by the authority and the power of God Almighty and the Spirit that lives within us. So at the heart of his message was a risen Savior who had all authority. One great example of that is Mark chapter 2, verse 10. When he was healing the paralytic, and he says, but so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, get up and pick up your pallet and go home. We know the scene. He jumped up and he ran, picked up his pallet. I can just see him running out of the house with his pallet under his arm, skipping down the road saying, hey boys, as the guys that carried him in, hey boys, I'm healed. Praise the Lord. And they skipped home together after they carried him there without any strength in his body. That's because of God's authority. In verse 2, Paul says, I don't stand alone. The Apostle Paul didn't hold himself aloof of his contemporaries. He had others. We saw in Thessalonica when he wrote that letter, he had Timothy and Silas with him, and he wrote with other men backing him up and helping him. And he says, all the brethren who are with me. There's some conjecture whether this was just a few of the leaders or the whole church where he was at or the brothers that were with him in like-mindedness, but he didn't hold himself apart from them or higher than them. The message was for the assembly of the ecclesia, God's people, the church at Galatia. And he says that this is to you from God, the church at Galatia, the assembly of believers. And that's why we can say the assembly, the ecclesia here. The assembly of believers, this is from God. This book is from God to us today. Every bit as relative today as it was then. Every bit as important today as it was then. We still need to understand the gospel today, to explain the gospel, to know the power that works within us behind the gospel, and the justification that comes by God's power only, and by God declaring this grace and mercy and calling us to himself. All of this is in there, and the walking by the Spirit and all of these things. This is from God to them, but this is from God to you tonight. I want you to know that. This is from God to us here in Auburn. To the called out of God, to the assembly of believers. This message was for the assembly there, and it's for us today. And so this authority was based in the resurrection. And this authority accomplished, or the reason that this authority had power behind it, was this. In verses 3 and 4, he says, grace to you. We've talked about this much. This unmerited favor, this position we now hold, not in anything that we've done, but simply by God's gracing us and giving us those things we don't deserve and holding back the things we do deserve. His wrath and his judgment. And he says, peace to you. And behind that word peace is really the great thought behind that is not just, you know, this well-being and circumstances. You know, we can have peace in turmoil. We can have peace in upset in life and circumstances that aren't exactly ideal. And we can have peace to the very end. I've seen that. Years ago, Helen and I sat at the deathbed of one of my dear saints at Clear Lake and watched her leave this earth in peace, looking forward to seeing her Savior very quickly. Just, it was a peaceful passing. And it was a joy. It was a sad thing, but it was a joyous thing. It was peace. But behind that word peace is more than just circumstances. It's the word shalom. It's well-being. Because we are in a right relationship with God. It is satisfaction with life no matter what happens, because we know a Savior who has given us a hope for all eternity. It's well-being forever in the safety and of the protection of our God and our salvation for our souls, because we are in this right relationship with God and He has brought that peace to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this only comes through God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Both God, we see that again. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus gave Himself, delivered over. It says He delivered Himself over in verse 4. This reason for this authority is because He has this because He gave Himself for our sins. That's a given. He gave Himself. He delivered over Himself. He's willing to offer Himself on the cross to rescue, deliver us from sin and from sin's punishment and from the wrath of a holy and righteous God. Yes. But it doesn't say that here, does it? It says that He Himself for our sins, so that He might rescue us from this present evil age. From this present evil age. Right now, active, that word, that evil age is the word porneo, or active, right now form of evil. A sin-dominated world that we live in, that you know what it has a great desire to do? Because the devil is given the authority for now by God's power. He's the prince of the power of the air. And this evil age, he's kind of in control of that at God's order for right now. But you know what this evil age wants to do? It wants to take you down. It wants to ruin your testimony. It wants to squash your fellowship in the body of believers. It wants you to do no ministry. Certainly doesn't want you to have any converts or tell anybody the true gospel. To rescue you from this present evil age, a sin-dominated world, to rescue us, to cause us, and that word rescue can also mean to cause you to stand firm, a foundation that will not move, a faith in Jesus. You know, it's the exact same thing that Pastor Bill just read in Galatians. This foundation, this rock that will come, will have a foundation that will never be moved. It will destroy all things that are worldly and sinful, and all those nations that think they have all of this power and all of this might and this control, but those things will be crushed. The foundation, this rescue that He offers, is to stand firm. I would encourage you today to stand firm in your Bible reading, to stand firm in your prayer life, to stand firm on the fact that Jesus paid a price for you that we have no idea the amount, but it was massive. And He willingly did that to save us. Stand firm on that foundation of Jesus plus nothing. Will you listen to that? Will you listen to that? Because the world wants you to not listen to that. The world wants you to think you're in trouble, you're alone, you're hurting, and you'll never get out. That this age is awful, and it will overrun us. And what did Jesus say? Fear not, for I have overcome the world. Let us stand firm on that foundation. Let us stand firm on the rescue that God has given to us to deliver us from not only sin's punishment and a sin-dominated world, but from all of those demons and Satan that want to just continue to take us down. We want to stand firm. And you know, those things are just, it isn't just coming to church and those type of things. Those are good, but it's that Monday through Saturday of prayer and reading your Bible and being involved in other people's life. You know, James 1:27 says, "Here's pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and our Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by this evil age of this world." Stay close to God. And He'll stay close to you in your prayer life, in your Bible study, in your fellowship with one another. Philippians 1, 27 and 28 says, only conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, in one mind, striving together for one faith of the gospel, in no way alarmed by your opponents, the world that wants to attack us, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, that too from God. And these things are all what? According to God the Father's will. In other words, there's election again. Chosen by God, according to His will, of the God of our God and Father, who has chosen us and called us to Himself to stand firm, to rescue us from this present evil age. Paul says, I want you to remember these things and listen to these things. Listen, will you listen? He says, we listen to the foundation that God has laid for you. We stand on that. Jesus plus nothing. And this authority comes from God, a risen Savior. And so there's our response too. That's the last part. This authority demands a response from us. You know, we're not going to run around like we're trying to get ready for Mr. T to come on Tuesday. The world's on fire. The world's on fire. Oh no, what are we going to do? What should our response be? Well, you know, boy, I got to dust that Bible off. Jesus is coming on Tuesday. There are people that live like that. We want to be in the Word every day. So our response is what? It says, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. So our response is worship of God. Worship. The worship of the Lord every day with your life. Paul talked about that in Romans. He says, we offer ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is our reasonable offer, our reasonable sacrifice before the Lord. To worship God. To glory to God and honor Him. Gratitude and humility for God's loving kindness to us, for saving us. It was all of Him. It wasn't of any part that I need to add. It's all of Him. Praise that begins now and is forevermore to the ages and ages to come. And this amen at the end. He says, this is our response, amen. An expression of affirmation fitting to the worthiness of God. For He who is provided out of His mercy and grace and compassion, this eternal salvation, we say amen. You know, I read something that this Cantonese-speaking Christian prayer always ended this way, with an amen. But in that language, and I'm going to probably butcher this, but that's okay, because nobody here speaks Cantonese, right? Shin sham shu un. And that simply means, with all my heart, I wish this. With all my heart, I wish this. Amen. Praise to God. That's our response to this great God who has saved us, and it's all of Him. It's all of His power and authority because we serve a risen Savior. We listen. We listen. You know, the Bible talks about that often. He who has ears, let him hear. Don't harden your heart, but open your ears and your heart to these things and your eyes to see the truth. Ecclesiastes 5, 1 and 2 says, guard your steps as you go to the house of God and draw near to listen rather than to offer sacrifices of fools. For they do not know what they are doing is evil. Do not be hasty in word or impulsive in thought to bring up a matter in the presence of God. For God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. I think you're listening more. I often tell the kids at Good News Club, you know, God gives us two eyes, and He gives us two ears, and He gives us one mouth. He must want us to listen and look twice as much as we talk. Listen. Will you listen? And just be quiet before the Lord and hear what He has to say in His Word. In Luke 9:35, the Father in heaven said, and there came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear Him. Then a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my Son, my chosen one, listen to Him. That's both in the NASB and the King James. So my questions at the end, will you listen, are simply this for us. I've got four things that I want to end with. Will you pay attention to the Word of God and listen? Will you submit to the authority of God and His Word and listen? Salvation comes by hearing the word. And the Spirit takes that word as we listen. And you know what it does? It changes lives for eternity. And so as we speak, let our words be few, but let them be about Jesus, and that it's all about Him plus nothing. And number four, sanctification comes by hearing and obedience to the Word of God. By hearing and obedience to the Word of God. Will you listen and live if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior? Will you listen and grow if you have? Let the Lord help us to do that and listen carefully every day. Father in heaven, we thank you again for this time tonight in your Word as we begin the book of Galatians. And Lord, we are listening. We want to hear your voice. We want to see your authority come when you return. We look forward to that. And so let us listen to one another. Let us listen especially to you and to your Word and to your Spirit that guides us. May our words be few, but may they be meaningful. May our praise be great to you and you alone. When we are saved by your grace, by your mercy and compassion, we are saved by Jesus plus nothing. It's in his name we pray tonight. Amen.